Sometimes you've just got to face something again. Sometimes you've just got to face something again. Things that have stared you down, things that you have tried to have a go at, a crack at, to use a Belfastism, and they stared you down. Sometimes you just got to face them again. And I'm going to finish off our Different Spirit series today saying that for some of us today, there's a word of release and there's a word of promise from the Lord for you today where he's saying, face it again, but this time face it in grace. Face it in grace. I've been so encouraged by this word because this is exactly where I am living at the moment. There's things where the Lord is, I've looked at my own journey for the last number of years and EastEnders. Every time, I mean, EastEnders wouldn't have a pick on it. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking, you know, at every stage of my life, I hear those drums. You know that? I don't watch EastEnders, but I remember my mum used to watch it when we were young, and you used to think that was the cliffhanger. And there's always a drama. Isn't that right? And I felt the Lord say to me to finish it off. I'm not going to go further on into the book of Joshua. I want to finish it here and say some of us need to face some things again, and we need to face them in grace. Because what we faced before was us, and the results weren't good. But the Lord said, I've got victory for you in things that you have thought, actually, that'll never change. They will never change. The sickness will never go. And the Lord says, no, I want you to face it again. He says, I don't want you to try harder. I don't want you to try again. He says, I just want you to face it again, but stand in grace. And you'll see a victory. Who needs something? Who has had something in their life that has stared them down? And you've maybe come round it again, you've come round to it again, you've come round to it again, and you go, I can't do this one. Okay, anyone? Gee, well, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so this is a word for you this morning. So here's the good thing about it. You're sitting in the right place. Is everybody ready to go? Brilliant. So Joshua, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 7 and 8. It's going to be a quick kind of through. What is it? It's one of those. And means we're going to go quick. I started off last week by saying this. In Psalm 18, 19, the Lord says, he brought me out into a broad place. Could you turn me down just a wee bit, Johnny? He rescued me because he delighted in me. He brought me out into a broad place. Why? Because he loves you. Everything that I'm going to say this morning is because God loves you. God is committed to you. God is not angry or upset. I say this week after week, but you know why it's really important? What we're going to see in the story today is that when you forget that you are loved, you take it into your own hands, and you think that you do a better job than the Lord. But you are loved today, and he brings you out every time into a broad place. What that means is a place of rest, a place of hope, a place of relaxation, a place of blessing. Why? Simply because he loves you. Have you forgotten this week that God is for you? Have you forgotten this week that God wakes up not going, I wonder how she's going to do today. Let's just see how she gets through. Maybe she'll do well, maybe she won't. And I'll just sit here in judgment, says the Lord, and you know, take my notes at the end of the day and dust them down for tomorrow. No, he gets up and he goes, I delight in you. And I want to bring you out. Whenever I feel like a broad place, I get this sense of, there's a place just above Nice in France, in the mountains, the Estoril. And I remember having this moment with Penny. We were driving along, and it was before we had kids. And Penny and I love France. We met there. And so we've spent tons of time. But one of our favorite places is when you go from Nice, you drive up through the mountains, and you get to different places in the mountains, basically. I'm not going to bore you. But there's a point where all the perfume factories are, okay? And you drive up, and you're climbing because it's really hilly. But then there's this one point on the road where you come up, and I remember saying to Penny, did you spill a bottle of perfume? Because I was starting to, you know, it was like really, not that her perfume's rotten, I don't mean that. What I mean is that it was really, really strong, like really almost overpowering. And what had happened is we had got up to the top of a hill, and we were driving along, and it was a meadow had opened up right in front of us, up in the mountains. And it was lavender, right? Like proper real-life lavender, not, you know, from a spray can. I've never experienced this. I'm a city boy. You know, there's not much of a smell of lavender in East Belfast, let's be honest. You know what I mean? Other than the toilet blocks, you know. But the point is, no, this was real life lavender. And I remember, we were driving along and it was coming through the vents, right? And it was pungent, like in a nice way. And I was like, holy smokes, that is amazing. And it was one of those, you know, those wee moments that just sticks in your head. Do you ever have those in your life? And it was this wide open space, beautiful smell, sun shining. Penny in the car, reading the map. Like this. And I'm going, put the map down and just take this in for a minute. And it was the most beautiful moment. And we just stopped in this kind of alpine meadow. That's what it was. And because you're at the bottom of the Alps at this point. And this alpine meadow. And it was just absolutely gorgeous. And as I read that verse, I just remembered that. And the Lord said, I bring you out into these places because I love you. And so the word today is going to help you get into a broad, open space. Why? Because God loves you. I said that last week that, you know, that this whole thing has been, and I'm rounding the whole of the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks up, is we have a different spirit in this church. I want you to understand it, that we are transitioning as a church, but what marks us out is different. And Penny and I had long discussions about this even yesterday around the table. Oh, the crack's mighty in our house. You know, I tell you what, but we were, you know, seriously. And no, I actually quite, I started it, which was even worse. And but we were talking, and I'm going, Pen, I absolutely believe with all of my heart that unless we continue to operate in a spirit of grace, then I pack this thing in. Because there is no, it is a spirit that possesses. And there's no other spirit. There's no other spirit that possesses. We've seen it through the journey of Joshua, and we see it in Jesus. It's when you live and operate in Christ and Christ alone, then you're able to possess your possessions. But whenever it's you trying to possess, it always ends up in frustration. It always ends up in hurt. And so in Numbers 14, 24, remember this. My servant Caleb and Joshua, by extension, he has a different spirit. He has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. You keep saying to the Lord, Lord, give me a different spirit to what I see around. Help me to keep realizing what you have put in me and how different it is to what is out there. And you will continue. You will start to possess, or you'll continue to possess one or the other. Because it is only God's grace that allows you to possess today. And what I'm going to say in finishing up is that there is one battle that you see in the story of Joshua where you see where the Lord says, now, I'm going to move you on, but I need you to face it again. And it's after Jericho. Remember last week I said Jericho talks about, we all have our own Jerichos, our virtual Jerichos is what I talked about, which are the things that stand in the way of our ability to possess that which God has for us. So they're virtual strongholds, and they impede us in terms of our spiritual walk. I said it could be a weakness in our character. It could be a physical infirmity or sickness. It could be indifference and apathy to spiritual things. It could be a specific area that we're neglecting in our life. I don't know what it is for you. It might be materialism. You might have a life-dominating pattern. It could be difficulty at home, difficulty in relationship, difficulties in work. It could be financial burdens. I don't know what it is for you, but regardless of what your Jericho is, we all understand that in order to realize victory and possess that which for Christ has given to us, we need to see those Jerichos fall. Isn't that right? And so last week, that's what I talked about. I said that whenever God speaks a promise into your life, he just doesn't go, you're blessed, get on with it. He goes, you're blessed, now here's how you possess that. And it is always comes back to us living like, this is Christ, this is his work, I rest, he does the work, I simply possess. And whenever we start, I said last week that Jericho, it was absolutely impossible for them. Even though there was over half a million fighting men, they never could have overtaken Jericho. It was too well defended. It was too well stocked. It was too well built into the ground. And the point I said last week was this, is that if it's not grace in your life, the things that are deep-rooted in our hearts, even after we get saved, will never shift unless it is the grace of God that transforms us from the inside out and gives us a different spirit. And I said that the whole thing of overcoming Jericho is important for a number of reasons, is that when you start into a land of blessing and prosperity and wholeness, you start into a land of God's favor, you need to see things fall. Because if you don't, if grace doesn't change you in any way, or you don't be able to appropriate it, what happens is you always look back over your shoulder and you're insecure. And the Lord says, if you will simply learn to do what I ask you to do, if you simply learn to stand and take yourself out of the equation, you will see things work for you. You will see situations change. And those things which have stood as an intimidatory big thing in your big thing, I've run out of words, a big intimidatory thing in your life. How's about that for running out of words? It's a big thing that's intimidatory. Yes. Is intimidatory a word?
Not
No. Anyway, the point is this. The point is that whenever you don't overcome those things, you think that, that's okay, I can just walk around it. No, you can't. Grace wants to set you free and show you that you have a victory, that you will stand in, that God is good to his promise, and then you walk on to the next thing. You understand me? And so Jericho comes down. I said that in Joshua 3:4, for us at the minute, it's like we've never walked this way. I want to tell you, I've never walked in church this way, despite the years of planting Exchange Church in Belfast. I've never done church like this. Lots of you will have no clue about the changes behind the scenes, and we will let you know about those in due course. But I'm telling you now, I've never been this way before. And I happen to absolutely love it so far. Amen. Good show. And the point is that for you in your life, I would hazard a guess that you haven't been this way before either. And the Lord says, this is a different way of living. This is a different spirit. This is a different way of operating. And it's the only way that Jericho's fall. So I don't know what yours is. I know what they are in the country. When I look at our role and what we're called to in this country, I believe that the Lord is saying that the only way that hearts and minds are transformed and changed is through the grace and the love of Christ, not through anything else. It's the only way the Jerichos in Northern Ireland, Ireland and beyond will fall. Whether it's sectarianism, whether it's racism, whether it's sexism, whatever the spirit of the age is, it is only the grace of God that's going to overcome that. Is that good? So that's what we have talked about. I said that last week they just simply walked around, and they it gets to number 7. I didn't go into that. I'm going to leave that for another series. And 7 is the number of perfection. And when God says it's perfect, at the point where it's perfect, you think about the work of Christ, where God's work is perfect, walk around, keep your mouth shut. Remember I said that? Whenever God speaks to you about something, what we tend to do is we tend to speak against it. And so God asked them simply to remain silent as they walked around the walls. So whenever God speaks into your life and says, you know what, I'm leading you this way and you've never been this way before, I bet there was at least 20% of the people, the marching men, going, your man's lost it. He's a buck Egypt. And do you know what they were having to do? They were having to walk around and look at the very thing that they knew they would never be able to overcome in their own strength. But do you know what the Lord said? Don't speak against what I have given you to do. Because at the right time, and the whole point was, you know, with our mouths in the new covenant, we get to create what comes our world by what comes out of our mouths. Do you know that? Your words have creative power spiritually. And so what the Lord says is, whenever I show you something, it may not make sense to you, because grace does not make sense to people. It offends them. Just keep your mouth shut and don't speak against it. It's not to say that you can't talk about things that are difficult, but whenever the Lord says, this is what I'm asking you to do, or this is the way that I'm showing you, just say, yes, Lord, I hear, I believe, and I'll go. Boom. Now, what I love about today is this. We're going to look at the next city. Now, this is really important because it's called AI. Now, so posh people say AI. I thought, if you're from East Belfast, it'd be I. You know what I mean? So we're going to I, and I dead on, and I don't really know how to say it, but all I know is this, is that it's the next city on the road from Jericho. And so Jericho is a big fortified walled city. I is not, and we'll come to that. So it's much smaller. So the next bit of the journey is, listen to me, this is really important. God, they have this incredible victory, and they see Jericho fall down. Now, God does not leave them there, all right? He doesn't say, that was brilliant, why don't you just camp, leave in Gilgal, come up to Jericho, you're now in the promised land and that will do you. What I'm trying to say is this, in your life today, God is always leading you from glory to glory. Do you understand that? This is what I love about this church. We were talking about it with the worship team on Thursday night. You have a measure of glory, God's glory in your life. What that means is the weight of his presence, his love and his favor in your life. And the Lord always says, no matter how big your victory has been so far, there's always more for you. I never run out. I want to lead you from one place of glory to the next place of glory. I want you to see more of me and experience more of me. I want you to know more of me and know in increasing measure. That's what the Lord does. From Jericho, he's going to move them on. He's not going to leave them sitting where they are. He's going to say, right, I want you to come with me and experience more of me in your life. I want to say this to people today. Why you've got to face some things in grace is because in the covenant of God's love and mercy, it's always glory to glory to glory to glory. You might have experienced this much somebody else might have experienced this much. It doesn't matter. When you're in the presence of God, when you're in the love of Jesus and in the grace of Jesus, he's always got more for you. Why is that important? Some of you have switched off and said, I will not see any more than what I've got now. Or I don't see how I'm going to experience more than what I've experienced now. I don't know what the path's like. And the Lord goes, yes, I know you haven't been this way before. But let me tell you something. I've got more, and then I've got more. And then I've got more, and then I've got more. Does everyone say a good amen to that? Because I'm going, God, I want to see a whole lot more. Now, here's the first pattern. I'm going to talk about patterns in this last talk. The first pattern that you see as they move on from Jericho is this. Jericho speaks of first fruit. So whenever the Lord delivers them into the promised land through the Jordan and the walls of Jericho fall, what does he say to them? Do not lift any of the spoil that comes from the city. Put the men, the women, and the children to the sword, apart from Rahab, but everything of value, the gold and the silver and everything else, is to be given to the Lord, and you're not to take it. Now, simply, I can't go past without mentioning this. It talks that in the place of God's blessing, the first fruit belongs to him. Have you ever seen that before? What he's trying to say is the pattern. Think about the patterns in your life. God is not chaotic. He's saying, whenever I deliver you into a place of blessing, I'm going to show you that everything comes from me. You will not need to take with you because I will provide every step along the way. Whenever you try to take it into your own hands, the Lord says, no, I'm going to set the pattern for this. It will always be me. And this is really important for what happens in 7 and 8. And so he commands them, he says, the first fruits, put it into the treasury of the Lord. What it means for your life is this, that it's important, it's about giving. It's about saying that in the promised land, the first fruits of what we have when in Jericho belong to the Lord. And so I want to encourage you today. This is a pattern that he establishes at the start of their journey into blessing. It's not something that where he goes, right, you know, in the second city, he'll tell them something different. But at the very start, the pattern is established. I will deliver you. I will provide for you. So take the first fruit of what you have and give it to me. Put yourself back in that place of remembering that it was God who delivered you, God who supplies, and God who will continue to carry you through in the whole journey. Folks, if you struggle with that, I want to pray a release over you this morning to see that God, you know, part of what happens is there's a guy called Achan and he takes and he brings all sorts of stuff into his life. Now, we're under grace, and I'm going to show you how that applies to us today. But the point is this, Jericho speaks of first fruit. The pattern is this. In the first place in the new land in Canaan that they have to understand is God gets us first. Yeah. And so I want to encourage you in that. If you don't give regularly, if you don't tithe, listen to the pattern that the Lord is trying to tell you, because he was leading them what? From more to more to more to more. His pattern is, you've seen one victory, I'm going to lead you to another victory. I'm going to lead you to another victory. I've got more glory, more weight, more presence, more healing, more deliverance, more prosperity, more provision. But he says the pattern is this. In the first place, honor it first back unto me, says the Lord. So I'm going to leave that one with you, but I wanted to make the point. It's a pattern that's going to be taken the whole way through. So the next city is Ai. Everyone say, I. It's like Ali G, isn't it? I. And so it's a much smaller place, and it's semi-permanent. So it's a little bit of an outpost from a city called Bethel. And what happens, it's up this rocky incline. It's set in the mountains, and there's a narrow pass to get up to it. And what happens is this, that there's a huge difference in their approach when it comes to the next battle. And I, for all intents and purposes, should have been an easy one. Because it wasn't like Jericho. It was built on the remains of another older city, but it was not a permanent place. It was quite a lot of tents in it. It had walls which were quite badly broken, and so it should have been quite easy. So what happens is the guys come to Joshua straight after Jericho, and they go, okay, next place is Ai. That's the way we need to go. And they send a few men up, and what happens is that they look at it, and they go, ugh, easy, 2,000 or 3,000 men. We should be able to take care of this, no problem. Now, look what happened at the start of Joshua chapter 6 for Jericho. Let's read those verses. And the Lord said to Joshua, this is before Jericho, see, I have given you Jericho into your hand, with its king and its mighty men. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going round the city once. Thus shall you do it for 6 days. So at the start of chapter 6, when they've got Jericho to face, they go to the Lord. The Lord says, I have given you this. It is my work to deliver you. I have given you the strategy. I have shown you the way. Simply rest in what I've done, and it is all yours. Do you get that? Go to the start of chapter 7. We don't have time to read it. What happens is Joshua sends 3,000 men up. He doesn't have a word from the Lord. He doesn't speak to anyone about it. He just goes, okay, fellas, on you go. Now, they come back, and they go, it's easy. 3,000 of us, we'll overrun it. And there's a very clear picture of something happening here. The point is that what they're going to do straight after being blessed by the Lord is go to the next thing in their lives and try to do it themselves. Do you understand that? I'm blessed. I've seen things in my life. I can do whatever I want because I am blessed. And I kind of go, no. This is why we live in defeat at times. This is why we don't possess our possessions. There's nowhere at the start of this where, like in the start of chapter 6, before the battle, where they've actually gone and said to the Lord, Lord, what do we do now? How do you deliver us in this? What is your plan? It's just, in their own estimation, semi-permanent. It's not as half as bad as Jericho. Where we sent 500,000 men to Jericho, we'll send 3,000 because we're able to do it. Now, let me give you the background before we get to the end of what happens. The background in this is that there's a guy called Achan who, in the Battle of Jericho, takes the devoted things. That's the gold and the silver. And there's a background story going on in Joshua 7, which is really important. He took the devoted things whenever God had said, don't take them. So God gets really angry with his sin. Now, God does not get angry with your sin today in any way. I just want to say this. Achan was told by God, don't do that. And he went ahead and did it anyway. The result was that when the men go to Ai to fight against something which is really easy, defeat comes because there's hidden sin. That's the whole point. Now, what would be really easy for me to do right now is to go, oh, thus saith the Lord, your problem is hidden sin. There's things hidden in there, and the Lord is causing defeat on you because there's secret things, and the Lord's unhappy. So everybody confess their sins. Anyone feeling blessed right now? Okay, that's not what happens here, and it's not how it applies to us. When people say sin, that was the issue here, but we get fixated on what we do as sin and how we sin. Let me ask you the question. Now, why did Achan take silver and gold when God told him not to? Why do you face some things in your own strength whenever God says don't do it? Why do you rely on you whenever God has clearly said don't do it? You ever thought about that? See, what Achan did is not as important to me as why he did it. And let me give you the answer. Every time we sin in our lives, it's simply rooted in one thing. We don't trust God. Every sin is rooted in not trusting God. And so what we find here is this, that if every sin has its root in not trusting God, that's why I preach grace. That's why we have a different spirit, and that's why we preach love. Because if we have faith to believe in God, the only way that faith will come about to believe in God when you're faced with hard things is when you know that you're loved by God. Whenever I've thought about Achan this week quite a bit. You know, whenever God's promise to deliver them in Achan's mind was much smaller than his need to look after himself, it resulted in sin. That's why we preach grace. That's why we preach unmerited favor. Do you understand it? It's because, you know, whenever we preach Jesus is bigger, whenever we preach Jesus is love, whenever we preach Jesus is all that you need, what it means is that you don't have to take things into your own hands and live in defeat. Because once you do that, you step out of grace and you step back into law. It depends on me. And then you go to face something like I, which is way less than what God's delivered you from in the past, and you run with your tail between your legs. You see, I think that for me, with Achan, I don't know about you, maybe you don't give because you actually don't believe and trust that God will provide. Maybe you don't give, I'm using these examples because it's gold and silver in this story, you know, because you're not actually grounded in love. You know, I look at Achan and I go, actually, why would he believe that God wouldn't provide whenever he had seen God? Now, but bear in mind, he was in the wilderness, so he would have seen manna from heaven every day. He would have seen supernatural delivery across the River Jordan. Okay, now listen, I'm coming to the point. He would have seen the walls of Jericho fall. He would have heard God say, all the first fruits go to the treasury. And then what does he do? In the moment, despite the fact that he saw all this stuff from the outside, he makes a decision that I can't trust. So he takes it into his own hands. He puts himself back under law, and the result is the death of him and his family. What I'm trying to say is this. This is why we preach grace. Because see your external world. Your external world will not be enough for you. It doesn't transform your heart. He saw God move, but that's why we preach grace, because from your very core, it preaches into you the ability to believe God. Do you get that? I could preach outside stuff. I could preach external. I could preach, you know, just remember those times of God. But actually, in the moment, Achan shows us our own weakness, that unless we are totally grounded and believing that God is good, what we will see is that our external worlds will cause us to take our life into our own hands and not trust him. It is only a changed heart under grace that goes, he is bigger, he is more able, and I will do it. Does that make sense? That's why we have a different spirit. You know, I could see people rallying here, you know, and controlling people over sin. You know, maybe Achan just felt like he had to look after himself. Maybe he just had a complete brain fart that day. I just don't know, okay? But all I understand is this. Did I just say that? All I understand is this. Like, see, if I had seen Jericho fall, right? If I had seen, that's going on the internet. I feel so bad right now. And I don't really. So, do you know what? I just thought to myself, I do this time and time and time again in my own life. I see God move around. I see the stories of God. I know the testimony of God in my life. And then God says, will you just do? Will you just follow? Because I am trying to lead you from glory to glory. I'm trying to bring you into a broad open space. And I do an aching sometimes. And I hold on. And I put myself back under law. And I live in defeat. And the Lord says, no. That's not how you do it. I delight in you. I'm trying to set the pattern that I have provided for you. I'm trying to set the pattern that every victory that you build on in your life leads you higher, 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 more of the glory of God in your life. More of the glory of God. More of his provision, more of his abundance, more of his health, more of his healing. But we go, I can't. I feel sorry for Achan because he was under law. He was, read what Joshua does. He takes him and his family, all of his possessions, up onto a hill. They stone him to death. Why? Because that was the penalty under law. Thank God for Jesus, that whenever we trust in ourselves, that what he does is he says, I'm going to bring you round again and show you my grace. There's no penalty from God towards you for not trusting him. You just happen to live in the mess that you create. But he'll deliver you from that. He'll bring you round again and again and again. Say, look, I'm going to show you how to do it this way. And so, It's an interesting thing, because if you read anything about Joshua 7 and Joshua 8, you're going to just find sin, sin, sin. And I'm looking at that going, no, that guy just didn't trust. He just didn't trust. I really want to encourage you today, go from here going, he leads me from glory to glory so I can trust him. I can trust him. Because his heart is for increase upon increase of his love and his grace in my life. And so I will not have to live defeated. I will not have to live defeated. If you're struggling today, then come to the Lord and take all the grace that you need. Because the point is this, that faith to believe God is the result of being loved by God. Faith does not exist in itself. It is the fruit of love. What I mean is this, I trust Penny because I know she loves me. So I don't doubt that she loves me. So the result in my life is that I trust her. I have people in my life who I do not trust as much as I trust my wife. No one in this room, clearly. But you know those people where, you know, you're not really sure that they're for you? So do you trust them? No, of course you don't. That's exactly what we do with the Lord. And that's why we preach inside-out transformation. That's why today, when you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, show me above all things that I am loved, that you have wide open spaces for me. Because if you are going around the same battles suffering defeat and setback. I want to say the root of it is that there's an issue of love in your heart. But the Lord's here to say, I'm going to show you how to face it again in grace. He's not angry. He's not going to take you out to a hill and stone you. He's not going to withhold from you. In fact, even under this covenant, look what he does with Joshua. So they suffer defeat. This is the cut to the end of the story. They suffer defeat. They send the men up. The people of Ai come out, chase them down this narrow gully to the point of descent, and they kill 36 of them. It was a wee bit like a bloody nose when you've got a nation of millions, but it was enough for them to understand, we cannot do this ourselves. See, this year, whatever it is in your life, you cannot do it yourself. So say, thank you, Jesus, more glory, more glory, more glory for me. That's the whole point. Now, interestingly, they took it back into themselves. Joshua, everywhere you put your foot, I've given you, etc., etc., mighty man of God, goes to the Lord before Jericho, before Ai, just goes, no, it's fine, go on and do it. I've done that all the time in my life with you. Huh. And then I wonder why. It's not even living defeated, that's too strong, but I wonder why I suffer setbacks. Do you? This is what the Lord does, this is awesome. They get defeated, they suffer losses, it's almost clumsy. God's with us, yes, but we'll go out and we'll do it ourselves. They didn't talk to God, they didn't have a plan from God. And the picture is this, that bearing in mind, their context is the promised land. They're not in the wilderness anymore. They are in the place of blessing. You can be in the place of blessing and suffer setback after setback. Why? Because you're trusting yourself. Do you see that? God, I'm blessed. I'm in my promise. In Jesus, we're in Canaan. We're in the promised land. And here you have the people of God, blessed by God, promised by God, and wondering why they're suffering a setback. Why? Because they didn't trust him. They moved from faith and doing what the Lord said to, I'm okay, Jack, and I'll do it my way. And boom, they run with a bloody nose. And so what does the Lord do? We see this. Now, I love Joshua's reaction here. He goes a wee bit mental, okay? Just to paraphrase, if you want to read it, it's great. He just goes buck daft, rips his stuff, goes after Achan and his family, and has them stoned. And so the point for me is very, very simple. The point is that Joshua had a number of options. He could say this. Now, you think about the things that you're banging against and setback after setback, and it's probably the same issue, that you keep coming in and you don't see it break through. Joshua had a number of options. Okay, people, because it knocks Joshua's confidence. He starts to go, uh-oh, so what do? Well, you go back. Isn't that right? I'll go back to Gilgal, where the reproach was rolled away, and we'll live there. All the people, I know that God has more for me. I know that he's got glory to glory for me, but I'm just going to, because this is hard and I don't know how to overcome it, I'm just going to take a step back, bring the people back, and we'll camp there. That was one option. He could have just waited it out at Jericho, just a little bit further on. He could have just stayed defeated, or he could have gone to the Lord and said, give me your perspective on this, which is exactly what he does. And so this is what God is saying to you this morning. This is the pattern that he wants to build into your life. And as we lead this series, this is what I want to say to you. Some of you have accepted setbacks as final defeat. And the Lord says to you this morning, no, I want you to face it again. And at this time, I want you to face it in grace. And you will see those things fall. Because what the Lord does is, let's start at Joshua 8. He says, and the Lord said to Joshua, okay? So the Lord comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, this is even under the old covenant. This is the grace of God. You took it all back into your own hands. You tried it yourself. You're living blessed. Of course, you're in the promised land and you're blessed. But here you are trying to work it out with your stuff. It's you just trying to work it out. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to do it your way. And you wonder why, if I'm blessed, my context is blessed, this covenant is blessing, why I suffer setbacks. And the Lord comes to him and says, let's do it again. Boom, that woke you up. Let's do it again. Let's go back to the same thing, but let's face it this time in grace. Isn't this amazing? I love this. He says to him this. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand. No, keep going, please. This is Joshua chapter 8, 1 to 3. I am the Lord, said to Joshua, do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I've given into your hand the king of Ai and all his people, this city and his land. And you shall go, you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves. Lay an ambush against the city and lay an ambush behind it. Here's the difference. I really want to encourage some of you today. Those things which have been your setback, relationships, habits, circumstances, where you have honestly before God gone, I'm blessed and I've tried to work this out. I believe the Lord says this, stop trying, but face it again. But this time, face it in grace. Do you understand that? Do you see the pattern here? Six, they're in grace, and the Lord delivers. Seven, much easier circumstances, but it's about them, and they fall. So what does the Lord do? He brings them back straight away and goes, no, face it, but here's what I'm going to do. See, the promise comes back at eight that he gave them at the start of six. I have given you this. And all of a sudden, the focus and the attention and the place is, now, Lord, you have spoken to me, and I am going to see you deliver me, not I'm going to deliver me and the people. Does that make any sense to you? Okay. What it does is this. All of a sudden, when the Lord comes and the Lord says, face it again in grace, they see a victory. The whole city of Ai falls before them, and they plunder the whole lot. God didn't excuse them. God didn't say, shrink back. God didn't say, I'll give you another way. He's building the patterns bit by bit as to how you possess your possessions. And it always comes back. This is my application for you, and with this I finish. I finish this series and I finish this week. Whatever it is for you, this different spirit says this, I will not try to work out things which are far beyond my control. I will recognize, I was doing a business thing this week and I was talking about circles of concern and circles of influence and how we have a circle of concern. If things touch us, right? It's in the circle of concern. It's a wee bit of business stuff for you. There's a circle of influence that sits in that, which means that there are things that you can influence, but you can't influence everything that concerns you. Do you get that? So what you have to do for your own peace of mind is simply work with the things that you can influence. And everything else that concerns you, well, when it comes to faith, that's the battle belongs to the Lord. Do you get me? And so for some of us, it feels like, uh-oh, I don't know. How do I simply rest in this? Well, here's what it's like for me. Every time in my heart, I feel the slightest bit of stress, the slightest bit of pressure, the slightest bit of, uh-oh, what I have done in 2016 is say, Lord, actively, I leave that with you. I don't know how you're going to work it out. I don't know when you're going to work it out. But what I know is that I am tired of trying to do it myself. I'm tired of trying to change them. I'm tired of trying to see you bless. I'm tired. And so, Lord, honestly, you will see this. And I'll see these things come down, but I've got to stay in a slipstream of grace. And that's what I'm going to do. So if you're sick, if your husband, stroke wife, stroke partner is doing your head in, if you're broke, if you're fed up, if you're all of those things, yeah, I see those hands. If you're anxious, if you're worried, the Lord says, face it again. Face it in grace, though, because he is your deliverer. Next week, I'm going to do a talk called The Battle Belongs to the Lord. And so, but he is your deliverer. Stand and see the deliverance of the Lord. Stand and see the work of the Lord in your life. Stand and see his goodness, because the battle is his. The battle is not yours. That's what you can influence. You can influence your heart and your mind. And everything else that concerns you, the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? Just take 1 minute in quietness around. I'm going to pray over you as we finish this. Because what I understand is this. When you walk out of here, what needs to happen is that the Lord reminds you and the Lord gives you wisdom and insight to know in your own heart whenever you are doing an eye. I pray, just close your eyes now. I pray the Holy Spirit would show you those things that he's asking you to face again. And I speak victory over you today. I speak release over you today. I speak today that you will see those walls fall. I pray today that the Spirit of God would give you wisdom and insight and revelation to know how to stand and simply see the Lord deliver you. I pray that today, as you go from here, that you would have faith again. Those things which have robbed you, those things which have stood in your life and you've gone, that's not changing. God, I've prayed about it. God, I've done this, I've done that. I've done this, I've done that. I've tried this. And the Lord says, I stop. It's no accident that the city's called Ai. The Lord says, stop. Stand in the slipstream of grace. I'm going to show you to face it again, and you're going to face it, and you're going to see the deliverance of the Lord. You're going to see the deliverance of the Lord. I'm speaking it over you. I'm prophesying over you now. You're going to see the deliverance of the Lord. You're going to see it in your home. You're going to see it in your body. You're going to see it in your mind. You're going to see it in your workplace. You're going to see it in your career. You're going to see it in your finance as you learn to stand and have the pattern in your life. You're going to see it in your children. You're going to see it in your relationships. You're going to see the deliverance of the Lord as you stand in the slipstream of grace and say, God, your work I simply receive from you today.